Medieval History, 7th grade, May 11th through 15th. Wednesday, May 13th. History Unit, the High Middle Ages. Lesson 3, the Albigensian Heresy, Church and State Intervention, and Dominic de Guzman. Lesson 3, Socratic Guiding Question. Why might both church and state be prepared to take such severe measures against the growth of serious heretical challenge? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of the lesson. Describe the beliefs of the Albigensians, their spread and disruption, and what happened to them. Introduction. The Albigensian heresy derives its name from the town of Albi, which is located in south-central France. It may have originated in the mid-10th century with a priest from Bulgaria named Bogle, who preached dualism, which was the central tenet of Albigensians. Many nobles embraced Albigensian teachings or openly tolerated them in the southern part of France. Proponents of the heresy took it to northern Italy, where it also found a home. For example, one-third of the city of Florence, or Fiorenza, Italy, became Albigensian by the 1250s. Albigensians were dualists. To them, there was a god of light and a god of darkness. They taught that the lesser god was in control of the material world for now, but not forever. Albigensians profess that human souls belong in the kingdom of light, but that the god of darkness captured these souls and took them prisoner. The flesh is evil because the evil god made this material world. They taught that the same evil god is the god of the Old Testament. For the Albigensian, the greatest sin would be to bring forth more souls into this evil world. Some Albigensian teachings were similar to Christianity, such as the repentance of sins. Albigensian teaching emphasized asceticism, that is, a strict diet and daily life. This made it particularly attractive in a time when so many Christian bishops were wealthy and worldly. Some teachings mimicked and yet also twisted Christian beliefs. Albigensians taught the consolamentum, which is the term for Albigensian baptism. To become a full-fledged Albigensian, one must fulfill several conditions before choosing to receive the consolamentum. One must be an adult and spend several years living an ascetic life, proving you are worthy to receive it. Additionally, it was supposed to be given near the end of one's life. The consolamentum was a long, solemn ceremony during which an Albigensian who had already received it laid hands upon a candidate and also laid the Gospel of John upon that candidate's head, and the newly baptized Albigensian was then made perfect. According to Albigensian belief, there existed the perfect and the hearers, two different groups among Albigensians. The perfect would not marry. They believed marriage was evil. They did not take oaths. They did not believe in the owning of property. They did not eat meat, fish, milk, or eggs. Instead, the perfect ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. Albigensian teaching shared that particles of light which were trapped in fruits and vegetables were liberated when eaten. The perfect practiced poverty. If a perfect, a perfectus, a member of the perfect, fell away from practice, that person could still be saved through the endura, which was either suicide or suffocation. Or one could commit suicide by fasting. Albigensian teaching was that this was only to be done during times of grave persecution. The majority of Albigensian believers were hearers. The hearers could go to the Catholic Church and quote-unquote conform. The hearers were allowed to own property, but they could not be married nor have children. If a hearer did not receive the consolamentum, they might be reincarnated, maybe once, some believe maybe seven times. Albigensians taught that a hearer would become reincarnated in either a human body or an animal body. At their worship services, instead of both Old and New Testaments, only the New Testament was read. Although some Albigensians accepted the writings of the Psalms and the prophets. A sermon was preached, and then the hearers would kneel down and adore the perfect. All Albigensians said the Paternoster, the Lord's Prayer. The perfect then blessed the hearers. They read from the Gospel of John, and finally a common meal was given. Albigensians rejected all material items, including church buildings, crosses, sacraments, and statues. There was no water included as part of the consolamentum baptism. Albigensians rejected the Christian view of creation, rejected that the God of creation was good and that God had made a good creation. Albigensians rejected the incarnation of Jesus, explaining that he was really a mere illusion. The Albigensians rejected the Christian teaching of the resurrection of the body and the sacraments of the church. The Albigensians also rejected the teaching of hell and purgatory. Albigensians instead taught that this earth is hell and purgatory because of the flesh being evil. Politics became involved in all of this as many nobles embraced these ideas. France was divided into four different regions, and nobles in the south became Albigensian. Some nobles became sympathetic because of their own family members. The situation became dire. Pope Innocent III called for a crusade against the Albigensians. The crusade, which began in 1208 and ended in 1229 AD, included intense questioning of whether individuals were Albigensians, as well as battles between feudal lords in order to return Europe to its religious and social unity. Question number one. Write at least four sentences describing the major teachings of the Albigensians. Dominic de Guzman, 1170 to 1221 AD. While force of arms was one way of reestablishing religious and social unity, another, gentler way existed, preaching the truth in love. This way was spearheaded by a man named Dominic. Born in Calaruga, Spain, around the year 1170, Dominic was the son of Felix Guzman and Johanna of Aza, members of the nobility. Dominic received his early education from his uncle, who was a priest, before entering the University of Palencia, where he studied for 10 years. In one notable incident from this period, he sold his entire collection of rare books to provide for the relief of the poor in the city. After his ordination to the priesthood, Dominic was asked by Bishop Diego of Osma to participate in local church reforms. He spent 9 years in Osma, pursuing a life of intense prayer, before being called to accompany the bishop on a piece of business for King Alfonso IX of Castile in 1203 AD. While traveling in France with the bishop, Dominic observed the bad effects of the Albigensian heresy, which had taken hold in southern France during the preceding century. Dreading the spread of heresy, Dominic began to think about founding a religious order to promote the truth. In 1204, he and Bishop Diego were sent by Pope Innocent III to assist in the effort against the Albigensians, through theological persuasion rather than military force. In France, Dominic engaged in doctrinal debates and set up a convent whose rule would eventually become a template for the life of female Dominicans. He continued his preaching mission from 1208 to 1215, during the intensification of the military effort against the Albigensians. In 1214, Dominic's extreme physical asceticism caused him to fall into a coma, during which the Virgin Mary is said to have appeared to him and instructed him to promote the prayer of the Rosary. Its focus on the incarnation and the life of Christ directly countered the Albigensian attitude towards matter as evil. During that same year, Dominic returned to Toulouse and obtained the bishop's approval of his plan for a religious order dedicated to preaching. He and a group of followers gained local recognition as a religious congregation, and Dominic accompanied Toulouse's bishop to Rome for an ecumenical council in 1215. The council stressed the church's need for better preaching, but also set up a barrier to the institution of new religious orders. Dominic, however, obtained papal approval for his plan in 1216 and was named as the Pope's chief theologian. The order of preachers expanded in Europe with papal help in 1218 and was a significant force in bringing an end to the Albigensian heresy. Today, many Dominicans continue their role as preachers, often as teachers in schools and professors in universities. Directive number 2. Write 2 sentences explaining how Dominic worked to convert the Albigensians. This concludes the material for Wednesday, May 13.